The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just fantastic. How was your week? Was it a good week?
Always good.
Yeah. You know, the thing about you this morning was you looked very happy when you came in this morning.
I'm always happy, Jeff.
No, but you looked really happy this morning. Normally you come in here like a little, you know, head down like this. But you were smiling. But I noticed you had the big can of Mountain Dew.
Got to.
That's the morning coffee for you.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee. I'm a Dew guy.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672, if you want to join or talk about what we're going to talk about. A lot of things to talk about, Bernie. It's been an amazing week here. It's been Super Bowl week. You know, I mean, unbelievable. The Patriots got beat by the Eagles. It's unreal.
Yeah, well, I can't say I was disappointed when Tom Brady dropped that pass on the unbelievable play call. I didn't think I was cheering. He drops it, and I'm like, yes. I'm like, all right, I'm all in with the Eagles.
Wow, I can't believe you just said that.
But we got a great guest coming on
right
now.
We do. We have an amazing show. And like I've always said, you know, the key to any great team, especially baseball teams, have a great leadoff hitter. And I would say this is an all-star leadoff hitter for Sports Saturday this morning. Let's get right to this.
A guy who I am just a monster fan of. This guy's awesome.
Big fan, and we're very proud. We've had him on a bunch of times, so we're excited to have him on again. The TikTok Drew's guest line, baseball insider for ESPN, Tim Kirchen, joins us live on the air. Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
I have to say this. I would love to know what your itinerary looks like for the next month and a half. I would love to see that itinerary.
Well, I've been over it about 50 times. The goal is to get to all 30 teams in spring training. It's a challenge, certain places and times. But the point is, I'm going to start in Florida on leaving Tuesday night. I'll spend 12 days there, then I'll come home. I have a big meeting at ESPN. I'll come back home, and then I'll go to Arizona for 12 days, then I'll come home, and then I'll go back to Florida for about 12 days, which is going to take me through spring training and through the beginning of the season. So I'll finish on April the 2nd. I'll be totally exhausted, but we will have started the major league season, and that keeps you going no matter how tired you are.
I have to ask, is there a lot of luggage that goes with you? Do you bring a lot of luggage?
Yeah, and the danger now is, since I have to wear a coat and tie all the time, I have to bring a hang-up bag for my suits, and then I have to bring a big suitcase for all the other stuff that I have to bring. And even though my clothes are much smaller than the average person's clothes, they still take up a lot of room. So, yes, two big bags, a carry bag, a hang-up bag, and a suitcase. I hate luggage, but I have to bring it on these trips to spring training.
Well, you totally are living my dream. I'm not lying. I am jealous of what you get to do. But let's get right into it, because we don't have a lot of time with you. Interesting offseason. Tony Clark, the head of the baseball players union, had some interesting quotes this week, kind of attacking Major League Baseball for the amount of free agents that are out there. Tim, I kind of look at this as like finally the owners are saying, enough of these contracts. We can't afford this anymore. So what are we dealing with here? Is it agents that are overpricing their clients? clients, or are we seeing some collusion with the owners?
Well, there are about 10 different things at play, and yes, the union and the players and the agents have a right to be upset, but I'm sorry, they signed on for this deal, and I think we all, the agents included, misread this market. There has been a market adjustment, and it may not even be the owners saying we're not doing this. I think it's closer to we have a bunch of young, new, bright, brilliant general managers who have a different price on players. They have a different value on players based on the sabermetrics that they grew up doing, and the sabermetrics suggest that this guy, whoever he is not worth more than 3 years, and we're not going to pay this guy through age 37 because the numbers suggest it's going to be a bad contract by then. That, as much as anything else, is where we are, and of course it doesn't help that at least 10 teams are not in a position to win. So instead of going out and buying an expensive piece so they can win 76 games instead of 74 games, they say, we're going to get, you know, we're not going to be very good, but we're going to do what the Cubs did and the Astros did. We're going to get bad. We're going to rebuild with younger players, and that's how we're eventually going to win. There are about 10 things in play here. Those are just a couple of them.
So, Tim, as we mentioned, we're big fans of yours. And before I ask you my baseball question, I got to ask you a question about cuisine. New restaurant in town here, and I'm going to be going there. And I was looking at the menu, and something caught my eye, an avocado on a hamburger. What do you think?
Well, I'm sure your listeners are not aware, because it's more of a local story, that the Tony Kornheiser show has turned me into the greatest avocado lover of all time.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily true. I really like them, and I love guacamole, but they actually put a song together, a fake song, to the music of Desperado by the Eagles, and they called it Avocado based on my habits of buying avocado at the grocery store. So instead of, pardon my voice, them singing Desperado, they sing Avocado. It is the single stupidest thing I've ever seen. And order the avocado on a hamburger. Avocado tastes good on everything.
All right. With that being said, you know, thank you for that enlightenment. I appreciate it. You know, we're all a bunch of Red Sox fans up here. What should the Red Sox expect out of the new manager, Mr. Cora, in terms of his style in play?
Well, he's young, he's bilingual, he's wicked smart, and he's got a great look and feel for baseball, not just because he played it for all those years, but because he's managed it in the minor leagues and in winter ball and all that. He just has a great touch with people, which, let's face it, is the most important thing you have to have as a manager these days. He's got a very good team that needs to get better. And I think everything points to guys like him in the A.J. Hinch kind of category as young, vibrant, smart guys who can sit down and talk to people, and not just to the players, but to the media and to everybody else. And that's what he can do. Trust me when I tell you this. He was a teammate of mine for years at ESPN. The Red Sox are in good hands. He will not miss a trick. And he will be able to get the best out of those players, and that's all that managing is these days.
Bernie mentioned the Red Sox fans up here, and there are a lot of them. Obviously, we're in the Northeast. J.D. Martinez seems to be very upset with the Boston Red Sox organization. There's a big offer on the table for him. He doesn't want that offer. There is even an article out, an ESPN writer had it out yesterday, that he's even thinking about going to the Yankees, which I would be stunned with what Brian Cashman's trying to do with New York if he went to New York. But was J.D. Martinez going to sign with the Boston Red Sox?
Note my hesitancy on this. I'm going to say yes, he's going to eventually sign with the Red Sox. He, to me at least, and for the people I've spoken to, he's more of an American League player because he's limited defensively. He would be a perfect DH/part-time outfielder. He's exactly what the Red Sox need. He can really hit. And it's just a matter of him getting past the idea that nobody wants him or that he's being really disrespected in the free agent market. Yes, he's not going to get what he thought he was going to get, but that what the Red Sox have on the table is a pretty good offer. They desperately need him, and I think eventually it's going to end up him signing with Boston, although he may not be thrilled with the final detail.
We are talking to baseball analyst from ESPN, Tim Kirchen, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Tim, let's move to the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton is now in New York. I think people were shockwaves went through baseball, and I think all Yankee fans when that happened in the early winter. But this baseball team this year, and I think it's kind of exciting, might go into the season with an infield with Bird, Torres, the shortstop Didi Gregorius, and potentially Andujar at third base. Four young kids in the infield. Is that going to happen in the Bronx, or do you expect them to bring a third baseman in?
I expect a change in that infield because even though there's great talent there, there's an awful lot of youth, and I think they'll make a move either at second base or third base to get a more veteran player in. Now, exactly who that player is unclear at the moment. I don't think Andujar is ready to play every day at third, but he's got great ability. He just may need a little more minor league seasoning. Torres at second or third or whatever. He's a really nice utility player, but I think they're going to go get a second baseman or a third baseman. And of course, they have to see how healthy Gleyber Torres is, how far along he is from his injury and everything else. So there are a lot of questions still, but again, it's February the 10th,
right,
and the season doesn't open for six more weeks. And I think with all the free agents out there, there's a whole lot of movement yet to happen before opening day.
If Gleyber Torres has the kind of spring training he had last year, will he be the starting second baseman?
He could be. Again, health is the key. I haven't heard anybody say anything about that kid other than, man, he's really good. But he's a kid, and it's hard to just step in with basically no major league experience and play every day at a position, especially a position that he's moved all around on. So I think he's got every chance to play every day for the Yankees to start the season, but he has to be in complete health, and he has to have a good spring to show him he's ready to hit in the big leagues.
Tim, is the juiced ball talk going to go away? You know, during the World Series, a lot of prominent pitchers complained about how difficult it was to grip the ball and blamed that on their slider and cutters, you know, not moving. So is the ball too slick? Is the ball juiced? Well, or none of the above? What's going on?
Well, I think the baseball in the postseason, apparently, depending on who you talk to, was different than the ball we used during the regular season. But for 2 years, I've been listening to pitchers say there's something different with the baseball. And maybe there is, but my guess is there isn't. To me, it's pitchers, despite their incredible stuff, missing location once in a while. And when you miss location with today's hitters, as big and as strong as they are, and with the approach they have, let's swing as hard as we can on every pitch, whether it's 2-0 or 3-0, and if we center one, it's going to fly. That's how over 6,000 home runs were hit last year, because mainly of the strength, the size, and the approach of the hitters. And I think it's going to be incumbent now on the pitchers to say, all right, we got to keep the ball in the ballpark better, because we have well over 100 guys hit 20 homers last year. That's too many, and now it's up for the pitchers to make an adjustment, and I don't think the ball has a whole lot to do with what's going on.
Tim, you've been so gracious to join us this morning. We only have like a minute left with you. I just have a quick question. So you start spring training Tuesday. Give me an idea. You land in the first. Where's the first place you're going?
Well, I'm going to go to the Yankees first.
Attaboy.
This is dependent on whether Sports Center changes my plans, but I got to go see Aaron Boone in the Yankee uniform. He's been my teammate for 7 years at ESPN. We worked extremely closely together. So I want to see him in a Yankee uniform. I want to see how things go. And then I'm going to start bouncing all over the state. And then we'll come back and do the Yankees full force with a whole bunch of people doing a Sports Center day with the Yankees. That'll be on February the 19th, Monday. So that's my plan for the moment, and I'm sure it'll all get blown up, and I'll start all over and make a new plan.
And Aaron Boone, and you worked with Aaron Boone for a long time. You're obviously close to him. You want to go see him. What kind of manager is he going to be in New York?
Well, I think he's going to be really good because he fits the A.J. Hinch profile, which I've talked about. Bright guy, yep. Young guy, played in the big leagues, and most important, has a great feel for the game, of course, but he has a great feel for people. He is able to communicate, not just with the media, but he's going to be able to look into the eyes of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge and the whole team and say, all right, how do you want to do this? Who's going to play right field? Who's going to play left field? What do you think about DHing? And that soft hand of his will make sure that everybody is content and is going to play the way they need to play. That's Aaron Boone's greatest strength.
Tim Kirchen, the greatest baseball mind I've ever talked to. Not only that, a great basketball player, Bernie, you know that. And yep. Finally, an avocado aficionado. So you have the whole spectrum. Timmy, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning, pal.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Safe Thank travels. You. The great Tim Kirchen. We've talked. You and I have had this. We've been blessed, right? I mean, you and I are just two guys that have normal jobs that come in and do this on Saturdays.
Yep.
But you and I have been blessed to talk to some very famous people.
We have.
On this show, and Timmy has got to be one of our favorites.
One of our favorites, but coming up next, someone just as famous in this state.
And that's what I was going to say. Do we not have a star-studded show here? I mean, this is like going to one of the greatest concerts ever. You got Tim Kirchen warming us up for the main course.
Did you bring a highly technical pizza box for me?
If you don't know that, you know who that is. The great legendary coach of UVN, Tom Brennan, joins us in studio. Don't go anywhere.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than this, Bernie. Does it get any bigger than this? Look at this guy in between us here. It's a Brennan burger in here for us. The great
with avocado.
The legendary coach from UVM, Tom Brennan, joins us in studio. Coach, thank you for taking the time. I know you're very. And by the way, I love that scarf. I got to get one of those.
I thought this was televised until I walk in. I have to say, I'm tingling because this is where it happened. This is where Corbin the coach was.
This is
right here. I sat right there in that
seat. No kidding.
For 16 years. Yes, sir.
Oh, my. Legend. That was a great show. That was a great show.
And I just feel bad that you got the guest list screwed up this week. Should have had me first and then the great Tim.
Let me just say this. What did I tell you this week? If we can get Coach on, we're going to go completely around his schedule. You wanted to do 10-20, so I said Tim Kirchen can do 10. We're going to have the great Tom Brennan's going to be in studio 10 for whatever he wants. And Bernie said, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to do whatever he wants. I said, fine, done.
I got three messages from Bernie. None made any sense. I finally figured it out.
Coach, it was after a snow day, buddy.
Okay.
It was the night of the snow day. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was at Strong's on Thursday night to watch the game. I was in Betty Ford yesterday.
Oh, my God. So let's get to talk about this UVM basketball. What a win the other night against Albany.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. What they have done is just so phenomenal, considering losing Anthony, and you just could never see it happen. You know, they were 7-5. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell one little quick story out of school here. They took me on a road with them, very kind and gracious, went to Bucknell and Marquette. And
wait, they lost both those games.
They did.
So don't travel with them anymore.
Hey,
please.
That's a technicality.
Oh, okay.
We chartered. I remember, Jeff, we bust to Penn State my first year.
We bust to Lehigh.
All
those places.
So I go on the road with these guys for 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, and I now you're a fly on the wall. You know, I used to be the coach, but I'm not the coach now. I'm just a fan, right? And they were so good to me. I got all the meetings, everything. But my thing was, are we going to run 2X? Are we going to run 1-3-1? Hell, Bernie knows this. I didn't care about that when I was coaching. You want me to care about it now? No way. But anyway, and all I said to those kids, all I ever want you to do is make me proud, because I am speaking for a whole lot of people. My boy on my right, one of them.
Yep.
Former players, people who came before you. So we lost two close games, and I just had an eye on John. I mean, he treats everybody so well. His assistants down to the managers, to the bus driver. And again, we lost two. We didn't win two. We lost two. And I just thought to myself, this guy really gets it. He really does get it. And he's proven that beyond a doubt in his 7 years here.
We had John Becker on about a week and a half ago, and Bernie and I were talking off air, and we asked him, you know, Bernie gets frustrated with Cat Country because they get so upset with the team when they lose games. And I said to him, and I'll say this to you, is you're basically the godfather of this program. Isn't it amazing to see where this program is? There are people out there that are mad because I think there's expectations this team's going to compete for a national championship. Think about that for a minute, that there are fans in this community, and I think that's the greatest compliment any program can have, that are expecting a national championship out of this basketball program.
I thought last year we were down 7 to Albany. I thought to myself, we might not go to NIT. We might not, right. We might just say, hell with it, man. We ain't going to NIT.
Right.
We'd have walked to the NIT.
Absolutely. I mean, a decade of 20 wins in a row.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's almost a whole century. I think Lonergan had 1 year he didn't get it. Our last four, we won 20.
Yeah.
So it's probably 16 out of 17.
We could talk UVM hoops with you all the time, but you have a national show on SiriusXM, correct?
Did.
Yeah, that might be breaking news here. You might be getting breaking news out here. But I do want to talk about the landscape of the NCAA basketball right now in the country. So for me, if you're looking at the top teams in the country right now, the talk right now is Virginia, Purdue, Villanova. Xavier is a team that obviously is up and coming. But all of those teams have one thing in common: they're veterans. They got a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors. The one-and-done schools, the schools that I think a lot of people talked about coming into the year, the Kentuckys and the Dukes, are really struggling. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think, simply stated, Jeff, talent and team are two different things. And when those guys come in, like Kentucky with Davis, they're ready. They are ready to go. But oftentimes, and most times, freshmen are not all ready to go. And first of all, and Bernie, you know, you've coached a long time. I've coached a long time. Jeff, you coach.
Sure.
Young teams, it's harder to get them to play hard. Young teams just don't understand what it takes, the commitment it takes to be great or even to be good. And especially when you're coddled the whole time before you get there. Case, you mentioned off the air, Jeff, he's kind of turned into a CEO, and he would probably be insulted to hear that, but I think it's true.
Mike Krzyzewski, we're talking about. Yeah, Duke, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's done so much. He's won. I mean, he got Carmelo Anthony in line,
right?
You know, when he was coaching the Olympics. I mean, so, but I just think now that when these kids come in, if they're not ready, and then the certainly what you can do very quickly is say, it's not going real well, but in 8 weeks, I'm going to be the third pick. I'm going to be the first pick.
Exactly.
And then my life will go on. So this is not a big deal. This is just a rest stop, you know?
But isn't it a big deal if you're a fan of Duke, or if you're a guy like Mike Krzyzewski he's a legendary coach, if it's not the greatest coach of all time, to have a program like his team where he comes in with these athletes, and it seems as if the last couple years, the team is, I'm using Duke as an example, has kind of regressed as the year's gone on. And that, to me, for a guy like Mike Krzyzewski, that's just different from what I grew up watching Duke in the 90s. It's just a different animal.
So Duke wins the ACC tournament and loses a game on the road in the second round to South Carolina. They regressed.
In South Carolina.
Right, on the road.
No, come on, but that's not the way Duke basketball is built around.
They won the NCAA
tournament. But these teams have not gotten better, Bernie. These teams, I mean, they got hot. Listen to me, hold on a minute. They won the ACC tournament last year, but coming out of nowhere. They won that tournament coming out. What seed were they going to that tournament? They were a fifth seed.
Coming out of nowhere, they're fifth in the ACC.
Fifth in the ACC. But okay. That's not Duke basketball to me. That's what I'm saying. That's supposed to be a team that's supposed to be in a Final Four of a year with that kind of talent. That's my only...
They lost to a team that got to the Final Four.
Well, and we live in a world now where it's, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
That's all, you know? And you talked about our guys, you know, the expectations people have now. I mean, you know, it's like I said, when I was 22 and 88, Did I say to my wife, you know, when do you think they'll name the floor after me? You know, it was like people were going, this poor guy, he's going to look good at your Chevrolet selling cars next year.
You know, Coach, we talk about what have you done for me lately. And one of the things the NCAA is contemplating is the ability for transfers not to sit out if they leave. What do you think of that in terms of the landscape for college basketball?
I don't have a big problem with it, Burn, but is it the coach has to leave or something? Isn't that the way it works?
No, my understanding was kids, like if you're at Virginia and you're not playing and you want to come to Vermont, you can play right away.
Okay. I don't have any trouble with it. I have no trouble with it.
Oh, my God. We're going to have that. That's going to be insane.
Wouldn't that create chaos?
Yeah. It sounds a little catastrophic right now, but I mean, guys aren't leaving if they're playing, right? Like, would Trey Bell Haynes leave here?
No, but I guess my question is, if let's just because I'm familiar with the roster, David Robinson's son at Duke.
Yeah.
He could, you know, he's not playing.
Right.
And he's 6'10", and, you know, he's obviously pretty good to be part of that place. But if I'm, you know, let's say UMass Lowell, who's trying to continue to get better and climb in the America East, wouldn't I recruit that kid as hard as I could to try to get him to come?
Well, I would block that transfer from Vermont. But no, I just don't. You know what, Byrne? You know this. You played for me. I never had a shorter conversation than when somebody said they were leaving. Never. And I was always hurt a little bit. Felt like I hadn't done quite enough. But the fact is, and again, both you guys, especially you, Jeff, somebody doesn't want to be on your team, you don't want him.
No, I agree.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
But I guess what I'm saying is, what happens with that kid? You know, let's just say a guy, and you just use the name Virginia, and I know Virginia well. So you look at a kid like Devin Hall right now, who's arguably the best defensive player in the ACC. He was a redshirt freshman. As a freshman, he was really upset. You know, all of a sudden you have players like that that are going to walk away from your program. Doesn't that kind of put the coach in a tough situation if you're, you know what, I just think there needs to be some kind of, I feel like we're getting away from the education piece of college and we're going into something else with that.
So please, that
ship has sailed. No, I get
that,
brother.
But there has to be a reason to stay. I think there has to be something to keep a kid there.
Well, you have the other side of it saying coaches leave on a dime.
Right.
On
it's
a
true.
Dime.
True.
You know, that kid, that ended up, they allowed him to go to NC State. Remember, he signed to Ohio State.
Yep.
The guy left. He wanted to go. I'm a big picture guy. I always have been.
Yep.
I think it will work itself out.
Yeah.
I do. I just don't think it'll be. And now, first of all, somebody got to take you. And once you leave, you can only go once, right? You can only
take is that the rule? I didn't know that.
I think that
would have to. I think you have to have that. You can't,
because you don't want
to
go. Alabama 1 year, then Texas. Right. Yeah, you want to check out every part of the country. You know, Coach, talk about the bigger picture. You know, Rick Pitino, the Adidas stuff.
Yeah.
What? Like, is more? Do you think more is going to come with this? Is more shoes going to fall? Is college basketball going to really take a hit?
I think so. I do think so. I don't think they'd have gone where they went and then just stopped. And you know, and it's somebody coaching friend of mine said to me, you know, the NCAA comes in and says, "Let me see your phone records." You say, get the hell out of here.
Right.
I don't have to show you anything. You don't get anything from me. The FBI comes in, puts handcuffs on you, and says, I'm taking your phone record.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I think there are big problems. And, you know, I'm trying to think who I said it to. And I said, it was a big name guy. I was on the radio with or something. And I said, it's just hard for me to believe that Miller and Self, it's just hard for me to believe that they could get blown up. And then a guy said to me, Tommy, Rick Pitino. Who's bigger than Rick Pitino?
And let me ask, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, and I do want to ask this question. A guy like Rick Pitino, you were a big time, listen, I mean, you were at Vermont, big time basketball. You won a lot of games, NCAA tournament wins. I mean, you were a big name in the game. What kind of pressure are these guys under to do things like this? I can't imagine Rick Pitino is the kind of guy that's trying to break rules, but what kind of pressure are these guys under that would put them in a position that they do something like this?
I think pressure and ego.
Yeah.
But the point now is, Jeff, I'm an advocate. I'm a big coaching advocate, always have been. But man, in football, they paid $60 million to coaches not to coach next year.
True.
Right? You know what I mean?
True.
So these guys are all making crazy money. So you fire Jim Mora and you owe him $12 million. Like, what the hell is that?
That's true.
And if you want to send your kid to UCLA, it's $70,000. So yeah. It just is. It's the cart has gone way ahead of the horse, and they're all making such big money that it's hard to feel sorry for them. And I think ego gets involved. Most importantly,
Coach Brennan. I mean, honestly, I wish we could,
anytime.
But listen, maybe you could do like the whole show with. Wouldn't it be fun to do a show with him?
Of course.
I mean, it'd be awesome to do this. Talk about this with you. Thanks so much for coming in today. Fitting us into your schedule.
My pleasure, fellas. I might have some time too. You never know. Hey, want to say before we go, I love the show. I'm not saying that. I will listen all the time when I'm out running errands on Saturday. You guys do a great job.
Coach, means the world to us. Appreciate it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna listen. The Patriots right now, Bernie. They're like a soap opera.
It's such a shame.
Our Patriots insider Tom King straight back
from
Minnesota.
You guys get on my nerves once in a while. Each other, but boy, the show is always good.
Don't go anywhere.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Bernie, this is like back-to-back-to-back and a belly-to-belly-to-belly. Guess, this is unbelievable.
Yes.
Tim Kirchen, the great Tom Brennan. And now on the TikTok News guest line, our favorite Patriot insider, freshly returning from Minnesota, Tom King joins us live. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm not that fresh from Minnesota.
I can imagine.
I brought back the Minnesota flu.
No. Really? That's not good.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday with it. It was like, oh, no.
So there was a lot of talk about how cold it was. I mean, was it a bad venue to have a Super Bowl?
Awful. You know, I guess the fans had fun downtown, but, you know, most of those downtown things are the locals that are enjoying it, and they're used to that kind of, you know, they're used to the real, real chilled weather.
Yeah.
We were out in Bloomington the whole time, the media was, because we were set up at the Mall of America, and all the hotels were right around the Mall of America. So, and the teams were at the Mall of America. So everything was right there. We didn't have to go anywhere. And, you know, Bloomington is about 25, 30 minutes away. And, you know, I'm not getting in a car anywhere and driving down in downtown Minneapolis in the middle, you know, in 0 degree weather. So from what I heard, the corporates weren't too thrilled about the whole deal. The one time I went downtown, I went to Justin Timberlake press conference. They bust us from the media center. But the corporates weren't too thrilled about the whole deal. You know, I'm sure that the natives loved having the Super Bowl there, but my guess is you're not going to have it there in my lifetime anyway.
I mean, I watch some of the best pregame. I don't usually watch pregame shows, but I'm going to tell you guys this, and you probably can appreciate this, Tom. The best pregame show was on NBC Sports Boston. That was compelling. Those guys were like arguing, fight. It was unbelievable what was coming out. They had some of the NBC Sports Philly guys in there with them. It was unbelievable. But they were mentioning that it's just a very difficult place to watch a game or to be a part of an event because the weather was just really difficult to be a part of. So
the weather is difficult to navigate. They had outdoor concerts. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. The stadium, however. If you could hold a Super Bowl at that stadium every year, that's a great stadium.
Yeah,
it's fabulous.
I don't even know where to start with you with this whole Patriot thing that goes on. You know, the fiasco. Obviously the game is the game. I mean, it seemed like two defenses that did not show up. The Eagles had the big play at the end, and the Patriots end up losing the game. But I want to start with the Malcolm Butler situation. I mean, what's going on there?
You know, I sat down with Butler. One-on-one, you get that opportunity to do that a lot of times, especially with players who aren't, you know, in the forefront. And the fact that I was able to do that on the last night of media availability kind of showed that Butler wasn't really in anybody's mind. And I asked him, I said, what kind of season do you think you had? And he responded with an expletive. You know, I mean, he said it wasn't very good. So, but I don't know. Obviously, in practice, it was obvious that Roe was with the first team. that was definite. The mystery to me is why Belichick didn't put him in the game in the second half or later on in the game and use him as third DB or even have him, you know, alternate with Rowe at the other corner spot. Evidently, this, you know, he wasn't told this until right before the game. So, and Rowe didn't know until right before the game. So that explains the emotional outburst on the sidelines that Butler had when he was crying during the national anthem. I mean, it just was just a mess. And obviously there's something, the fact that he didn't play in the game at all, okay, that has to tell you there had to be some kind of a discipline issue involved, despite the denials by both sides. There had to be. I mean, to not start him is one thing because you're looking at different combinations and the guy, other guy practiced all week. That's fine. But to not put him in the game at all tells me that there was something else there. And what it was, Belichick isn't going to say it because he don't want to disparage the player. His player's going into free agency. And Butler's not going to want to tarnish his own reputation. So something had to happen. Something. I don't know what.
And what I thought was the most interesting thing in the beginning, it was, I felt the same way when the news first came out. But when, like, Tom Brady went out and made a didn't he put something on Twitter or something supporting him?
Here's the thing. NBC did their lineup where they do the visible lineup and everything else, and they saw so-and-so's from so-and-so. And NBC was given the starting lineup, and in that starting lineup, Butler was starting. How's that?
Yeah.
So that's there's a lot of mystery there, you know, and then of course, you know, I was getting on a plane late Tuesday. Josh McDaniels was hiring assistants to be the Indianapolis Colts head coach, and then I get to Chicago to change planes and all of a sudden he's not the Indianapolis Colts head coach, and it just, the week just went crazier from there. So who knows? You know, and Belichick's terse response to coming back next year in the conference call, which I was on, where he said, I'm not answering the same question over and over again. You know, it just was a bizarre, nobody loses or nobody goes into an off season like the New England Patriots do. I mean, last year was they won it, but it was the Tom Brady jersey. First Super Bowl I ever covered, Bill Parcells leaves to go to the Jets. I mean, it's just all this drama that goes on with this team. It's unbelievable.
Well, speaking of drama, we'll get to the coaching aspect of it a little more in a sec. Gronk's press conference, you talk about Gronk and now, you know, The Rock and Sylvester Stallone are coming out and, you know, trying to encourage him to do more of the acting. I mean, what do you think about Gronk? Is he going to play one more year, or is there just too much money to leave on the table?
Well, I think the money is obviously a factor, but I mean, he's going to have to make that decision with people pulling at him both ways. In my opinion, he ought to retire. You know, how many concussions has he had that we really don't know about? And I'm sure he's thinking the same thing. So in my mind, my guess is he'll probably come back for maybe at least one more year. Or stay as long, you know. I don't think I would bet that he's done before Tom Brady's done. I would bet that because he's just had too much. That body's taken too much pounding, too many injuries. But the CT thing is really that's a real issue. That's the concussion issue is something that he's got to be worried about. I mean, if he got one more, he'd probably say, that's it, I'm done, you know, and then, get, you know, pray for the future. But I think that wasn't just talk after a game depressed about losing. I think that was real. I think Gronkowski, during the concussion protocol, probably was thinking very heavily that this might be it.
And how about, are the Patriot haters and Tom Brady, you know, people that love to see him fall from the pedestal, are they making too much of a big deal about not shaking the opposing quarterback's hand after the game?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, usually he looks for the other quarterback. But when at the end of a Super Bowl, it's a mess on the field. The confetti's flying all over the place, and people are just it's a muddle of mess. It's just mayhem on the field. So I don't know if it's a big deal or not. I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, Foles didn't seem to be too upset about it. He just won the Super Bowl. So no, I wouldn't make too much of that. I really wouldn't. I mean, Nick Foles is a great guy. I don't, you know,
right.
You're going to shake anybody's hand, that would be the one to shake.
Right.
So,
yep.
I think Brady just wanted to get the heck out of there after all of it. It was very, very, very hectic after that game down the field.
We only have a couple minutes left here, Tom. But so you mentioned the Josh McDaniel thing, which is just surreal to me as well. The fact that, you know, he basically had an organization waiting for him for a long period of time, then pulls out last minute. Does this mean Bill Belichick probably isn't long for the sideline in New England?
No, I mean, I don't know that for sure. I wouldn't. I know that's the assumption you take, that, oh, he's going to coach one more year and that's it. Josh is going to get the job. I wouldn't say that. I just think that they know they have their next head coach in the building and they don't want him to leave. But here's the issue. The NFL is going to do something about this, because I'm surprised this hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
You know, because teams wait until after the Super Bowl because they know they have their guy and everything else, but he hasn't signed the contract yet. So, you know, when that happens, anything can happen until it's signed on the dotted line. I think the NFL ought to let these guys sign that deal, be named as the head coach, you know, in a short, terse press release, and then, okay, no more contact with that team until you're done with the season. And I think that that's the way they ought to do it. The college does that. There are a lot in that national championship game. There are a few assistants who are going on to other jobs, either assistant jobs or head jobs. And everybody and it was already they've already signed, sealed, and delivered.
It's true.
So I think the NFL ought to do that, because what you need to do is you need to protect the assistants. You need to protect the guys who are going to work for that head coach. That was the only problem I had with what Josh McDaniels did, was that he bailed on other men who were going to take that job, you know, take the assistant's job. And I think that, you know, for him, where they were going to work for him and leave their jobs and everything else. And they already had two or three guys that were in the building in Indianapolis that he hired. So that's just, you know, you got to do something about that. I think the NFL's got to take a look at that.
Tom King, you're the best, buddy. Go feel better. I'm sorry that you came home with the flu. And like I said, thanks for fitting us in today. I know it's been a rough couple weeks for you. A lot of travel.
Yeah, a lot of travel. It's been a busy week. All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
all
Tom.
Right,
feel
Tom
better.
King. Interesting. You know, I mean, the Patriots, you go from a week ago, before the Super Bowl, you thought it was the greatest organization ever to live. You thought everything with the stability was there and the players were all in. And after one game, it's almost as if you feel like there's some tarnish off the old off the gold there in New England.
Isn't it amazing how winning cures all?
It really does. It really does. And you start thinking about that little story that came out between Brady, Kraft, and Belichick, you know, early in the season, and you just wonder, you know, especially with what Brady did after Butler came out and kind of went after the Patriots not playing him. That said a lot, I thought, for him to like the tweet and then kind of go out and write something about supporting him. It's interesting stuff happening in New England. There's going to be some stories this summer, I think, with New England Patriots.
No question about it.
All right. What a first hour, Bernie.
Nowhere to go but down from here.
You know, because people got to listen to us now for the next hour. Hey, listen.
Well, we got to get AC on.
Oh, yeah. AC, yeah. We got to get AC. We got to let AC go a little bit. Yep. I text him. We'll see if he gets with us. But listen, I've got a Valentine's Day is coming up, and I've got a really special story I want to share with everybody. So please don't go anywhere.
All right. That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
So, Bernie, you know Valentine's Day is coming up this week, February 14th.
It is.
It's coming fast.
You mean I got to do something nice?
You got to do something nice. And I've got a great thing that you can do. And I hope it's okay that I'm even saying this, but it was on the news. I've seen it on Facebook. I saw it on WCX's Facebook page. But there's a woman that used to waitress at a restaurant that my wife and I went to routinely. We'd go to a couple times a week. This is a couple years ago. And her name is Sarah. And I only knew her as Sarah. And I believe her last name is Concieri. If I'm saying that wrong, I do apologize. And we used to have these great conversations with her. I used to look forward to seeing her as my wife did. One of the sweetest people I've ever met. She probably doesn't know who I am, doesn't know my name, probably know my face maybe just from because we went in there.
Is
so
that
much.
Good or bad?
It's not good to ever think of my face. So I'm sure she'd be like, give me like the look to, you know, out of the side. But right before Christmas, she had a very sad accident. And she is now. She's paralyzed now from the accident. She's in the hospital. And one of the wishes that she had was for Valentine's Day was because she is right now and going through some very intense rehab, is to get her room, which is all white walls. You know, the hospital rooms are all white walls covered in Valentines. And I just think it's an awesome thing. And it's such a sad thing, but if you know Sarah, and I only know her from a hardworking individual that used to take the time to talk to my wife and I, you know that if anyone can overcome something like that, it's her. And if you want to be a part of trying to send a Valentine to her, the address that you send it to, it's Sarah Concieri. And I might be saying that wrong. I only knew her first name was Sarah, but it's Concieri. She's in room 1014 at Fannie Allen Hospital, 790 College Parkway, Colchester, Vermont, 05446, and send a bunch of Valentines to her this week so she can fill her room with Valentines. She's one of the sweetest people. We used to talk about our dogs. We have two dogs, and she would talk about her dog. And if you know my wife, they were almost like the same person. They love dogs so much. But a very special person and someone that you realize in life sometimes – she probably would never remember this, but she made a mark on my wife and I. And I'm heartbroken for what she's gone through, but I know she's strong enough to overcome it. And I sent a big Valentine card this week. So I challenge all of you out there, all of our listeners at 101.3 to do something nice with Valentine's Day and send Sarah a beautiful Valentine's card.
It puts a lot of things into perspective.
It does.
You know, we're sitting here talking about sports and players being upset about not signing for millions and millions of dollars. And here we're just trying to brighten somebody's day who is going through something that none of us would ever want to experience. So let's hope we all jump on this cause and make this wonderful person's Valentine's Day that much more special.
And you got a big fan in us here at 101.3 ESPN and Sports Saturday. Sarah, keep up the good fight, and we're rooting for you.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. What a first hour we had. That first hour was just loaded. Unbelievable. Tim Kirchen joined us, ESPN baseball analyst. It's always a lot of fun to talk to Timmy. We've had him on a bunch of times, and it's always interesting to talk to him. And what an itinerary he's going to have, Bernie, going forward.
Busy season, or, you know, really getting busy right now.
Yeah, there's no question. Way to go, by the way, Aaron Wells on the board. You're trying to multitask there, which is always really good. Had Tom Brennan join us. You could talk to Tom Brennan all day long. You can see why he's a legend in the radio business as well.
Yeah, just, again, not only his humor and his quick wit, but, you know, like he mentioned, the bigger picture. He always has a different perspective and a different thought, which is why he is who he is and why he is so special.
And again, and we talked about this before with him, but, you know, he's one of those certain guys. He's a big-time Division I basketball coach. He's been there, seen that. He's seen the greats and the ups and downs, and he's been in the biggest game. So it's always fun to talk to Coach. And obviously having him in studio was awesome, especially for me, honestly, as a big fan, to have him right there. It was an honor for me as well. And then Tom King, under the weather, Tom King, fresh back from the Super Bowl, didn't paint a very good picture for the city of Minnesota in terms of having the Super Bowl there, but we really kind of got engaged on exactly what's going on right now with New England. There's just a lot of question marks, and there's no answers right now.
Yeah, it sounds like he loved the stadium, didn't like the cold of Minneapolis, and just really the Patriots in a state of flux right now.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation, 802-655-6672, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line to the same number, 802-655-6672. Do you have something to say to me, Aaron? You look like you're hitting a button.
We got Rich.
Oh, we got Rich on the line. All right, we're going to talk some pond hockey with our good buddy Rich Haskell. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, boys.
What's happening?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's like a heat wave out here. This is by far the warmest I can ever remember the Lake Champlain Pond Hockey Tournament. This is unbelievable. It's like, what is it, like 32 out? Freezing is not freezing.
I was gonna ask you. All the years that we've gone to this thing, it is like bitter cold. Like it's almost unbearable to go watch. But this year, it's gonna be perfect.
It's almost like it's on cue every single year. Okay, Mother Nature says, when is the pond hockey tournament? I'm gonna stick it to them. I mean, we've had wind chills of -40 and all that craziness, but it couldn't be better. A little bit of light flurries, and it's like the 32 mark right now, and the place is crazy. We're sitting here around the woods, we're stoking the fire here and having some Labatt's and watching everybody play hockey.
So, Rich, give us, paint a picture for people that haven't gone or people that may want to go down, and paint a picture of what they'll see if they go down to this today.
Oh, you absolutely want to come down here. And, of course, every year I say, hey, come on down. It's really not that cold as the wind chill hits -50. So,
is there a reason why they always send you there, Rich? I mean, why isn't Arnie down there or Brady? How come it's always they send you to the coldest events?
Well, first of all, I want you to know that, and this may sound a little strange, we sent Brady and Arnie down to the pub crawl, and I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night. Talk about a role. Is that a role reversal?
Wow. You are really growing up, Rich Haskell, right in front of our eyes. That's good stuff.
Me, I am just so mature.
What a company man.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, if you're thinking of coming down here, it's right at the boat launch by Ross on Mallet's Bay, and it is a scene. And you can't use the weather as an excuse to come down and see it. Well, they've extended it from 10 rinks to 13 rinks.
Wow.
We're about a quarter of the way to Plattsburgh at this point, and it's like 150 teams, and they're here from all over the place. We're sitting here around the fire right now. Did you guys drive 15 hours? They drove 15 hours from Richmond, Virginia to play pond hockey in Mallet's Bay, Vermont.
That's unbelievable. That tells you the type of talent that there. So it's not just a big party for people to go to hang out at, but the talent, the hockey talent's great, right?
Right, and the guys from Virginia said it's kind of talent optional. They're here for the beer, clearly. Because as soon as they hit the ice, the first thing he told me is like, wow, they take their pond hockey kind of seriously up here, don't they?
They probably said the same thing about you being on the radio. You're like, yeah, I like to be on the radio, but I'm here for the beer. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Is that how the conversation started?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But no, we just wanted to be around the fire. I mean, it's warm, but when you stand out here on the ice for 4, 5, 6 hours, you do kind of start to notice it.
Is the fire on the ice?
No, it's okay. On a little, what are those things called? Pallet.
Oh.
Thank you, Pat.
You got a fire on, so you're standing on a fire that's on a wood pallet?
Yeah.
That's not, I don't know if that's good either.
Well, the wind is blowing the smoke right into my eyes. But at least I'll smell like a real Vermonter for the rest of the day.
All right, everybody, listen. Get down to the pond hockey. It's right by Rozzy's. All you have to see, is Rozzy's. Go to Rozzy's. You'll see the pond hockey. Go check Rich out. He's having a great time down there, guys. And Rich, thanks for calling, pal. Have a great time today.
Yeah, and absolutely. And make sure when you come down here to have a Labatt.
Absolutely, Labatt's all around, baby.
They are the reason we are here, so we want to thank them, that's for sure. We'll see you later. Yeah, and then, by the way, it goes all day tomorrow, too. So today is your last chance to come down and see it. It is quite the spectacle, so come on by. Plenty of parking.
Thanks, Rich.
See you, bud.
Thanks, Rich.
You know, it's funny. I've only been down there once. It really is a spectacle. Normally, it's just because we're doing the show, and then when I leave, it's like 30 below zero, and I'm like, maybe I won't. But I saw a video this morning on Facebook of of people a Facebook feed or something of it, and man, they're literally beautiful rinks. They put a bunch of rinks. There's a ton of. I've got some friends that just say it's the greatest event, and like Labatt's is putting it on, obviously. So get down there and have some fun today. It's going to be beautiful. It's 35. I think it's gonna be even higher than that. It's between like the high 30s. Not a lot of bad weather. Well, go down and check it out.
What's that going to do to the ice?
I know nothing about that. I don't know if there's any Zambonis out there or anything. You know what I mean? I don't know about that. So just be safe out there. But my guess is that. But it's been so cold.
Yeah.
I mean it's going to be like August before that thing is thawed out. So,
I don't know. I maybe it's just me. I wouldn't be standing out on the ice when it's above freezing. Mm-mm.
Now listen, you know, I mean, I trust the guys down there. Like the Rich Haskell's down there, the guys that are running the show.
If the 13th rink that's close to Plattsburgh, if that goes, everybody's coming.
Yeah, you just got to go.
Land ho, let's go.
Don't walk out to the Plattsburgh side one. Just stay the one that's closest to Colchester. You'll be all right. Hey, how about Josh McDaniel? We kind of started with that, but I don't want to use the D word, but what a jerk move by Josh McDaniel of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, what a job that was. yeah, we're gonna, I'm coming, we're gonna start doing this. Bah, maybe I'm not.
At least Belichick, when he did it, was just for one day.
Yeah, but Belichick, but when you look at the Belichick situation, like Belichick was upset at the Jets. If you remember, the Patriots wanted to offer him a job. I mean, that, if you and if, did you see the 30 for 30, the two Bills?
Yeah, we text during it.
Oh, that's a good point. We did, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, we did text. I only text you once. It's like, are you watching this? And you're like, duh.
Yeah, what do you
think? Anyway, but if you remember, basically, remember what happened was Bill Parcells, the Jets got the call that they wanted to, I'm sorry, the Jets got the call that the Patriots wanted to interview Belichick for the job. Immediately, Parcells didn't tell him, went down and resigned it, and then they gave the so Belichick was upset at the Jets for that. So that's kind of, there was some infighting there. But Josh McDaniel, I mean, come on.
That was definitely interesting. And, you know, again, it makes you wonder what's going on internally with the Patriots. And Tom King touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, at the end of the 10 o'clock hour with us. And it just, you know, I just, that's hard. I like the suggestion of let him sign, let him get delivered.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, like Tom said, I feel bad for all the assistants that he had in place.
That's true. That's right.
Now, okay, well, I mean, Josh is fine, but what about everybody
else?
That's
very true. That's what I mean. I think it's not just a jerk move by Josh McDaniel for the Colts, but it's a jerk move for the guys that he hired and the guys that were waiting to get jobs that they thought were going there with him. I mean, that's just a low blow.
And now in terms of, you know, you think of the Colts, those people that went to the college week.
The combine?
Yep, the college stuff. You know, they lose out on times in terms of evaluating. I mean, thankfully they have like what, the third pick, you know, and
yeah, but to take away all of that, I mean, you know, you don't want to be now you're kind of chasing people. I mean, all the important people are gone essentially. You know, and I'm not just saying that the important, but all the big names are kind of gone now, and you kind of get to a point where it's like, you know, I mean, just be honest. You know what I mean? Like I just think it's unfortunate.
Well, but was he honest, and did he get a better offer?
Well, he might have gotten a better offer, but again, and maybe you're right, but I don't know.
And maybe, you know, Robert Kraft didn't say anything because he wanted to focus on
Kraft wanted to stick it to the Indianapolis Colts.
The report I heard was that he was in the facility. Sorry, I stuttered.
In New England?
In New England.
Okay.
That Josh McDaniels was in the facility to clean out his locker. And he was pulled into a meeting room with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, and they offered him a bigger deal. So he wasn't pulling. So like, it's awful for the assistant coaches, and he owes something to them. He doesn't owe anything to Indy. But this is Robert Kraft.
He does owe something to Indy. I disagree with that. I don't like the way that went down. Business ethically, I just think it's terrible. I'm sure it's the business world that we live in. I get it, but to me, it's just a low. I mean, they don't owe anything to Indy. I agree with you there. But it's just ethically, it just looks bad. And it's just another reason
but
for this brand to be, you know, this is why the Patriot brand is the Patriot brand.
Oh, it looks horrible. Yeah.
But with that being said, you know, did they not reach out to him until everything was over?
Yeah.
But why is that? Because you're focused on winning the Super Bowl in terms of trying to do it that way. So, you know, why create that extra drama right there when there's enough drama going on already?
I don't know. For me, I think if it was me and I was the owner of the Patriots, which I am not, I think I would have, if I was going to keep him, I was going to offer him a job, I would have just done it, you know, before. I mean, hey, listen, we want you to stay. You know, here's what we want to do. Will you stay? I mean, but instead, you know, it's like last minute, and I don't know. I just think it looks bad.
We got Jim in Essex.
We got to call Jim. Good morning, buddy. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm just wondering, you're talking about those other assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Do we know, and I don't know the answer to this, did McDaniels ever, did he like tell them himself he was going? Or did he like, oh, I'd like to have these guys, and Indy went out and got them and they signed and everything? Do we know?
I don't know. My understanding is that, you know, he had people in place verbally, but I don't think there was anything signed on the dotted line, but you know, I think those assistants were ready to you know, already doing work behind the scenes to help the Colts get ready.
Well, not just that, and if you listen to our interview with Tom King, he said that when they got on the airplane leaving Minnesota, when they landed in Chicago on their way back, when they were getting the airplane, I mean, McDaniel had already had guys lined up like this. It was set. It was ready to go. By the time they landed in New England, the job was gone. So, yeah, I don't know how it worked out for him, but there are probably some very unhappy coordinators because they're probably going to be looking for some jobs. But anyway, that's, you know, and thanks for the call. We appreciate that. So I don't know. Just it's a bad look, you know.
Right.
I mean, I get it all that, but you know, I just the way it went. And I'm not sure you go after Josh McDaniel because if they offered him something better, I mean, and then you took whatever's better for him in the same, that's fine. But it's just a bad look for the Patriots, I think, overall.
Is it a bad look it's the same thing. The timing is just awful.
Yeah, it just that's what I mean.
The timing,
of course, it's a horrible look.
Here's the reasoning behind it is it's a really good timing for the Patriots in the sense that they waited for the most opportune moment to get the best deal on McDaniels because he had already had an offer set out and it's late in the process.
Sure.
So no one's running the price on McDaniels up on them. But in terms of PR and in terms of how it affected other people, it's horrible.
But if he has an agreement, why are you putting that offer out there then?
That's a good question.
Well, talk about deals. Talk about good deals. How about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, my Lord.
$137.5 million deal with the San Francisco 49ers. Good for a guy that's played 7 games. Good for you, Jimmy.
He's undefeated.
Good for him.
Undefeated.
No, listen. But I'll tell you what. You are putting a lot of – that's a lot of loot. Now, he's making more than Brady, right?
Brady
Farkas?
In his first 5 years of his contract.
not Brady Farkas.
Oh, significantly more than Brady Farkas.
Yeah, I would hope so.
In his first 5 years on this contract, he's going to make more than Tom Brady made in his first 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
But Tom Brady chose to take those pay cuts for the overall success. So
right, absolutely.
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
I agree with that. And then when people want to bash my boy Tom Brady, remember that. I mean,
Tom Brady. John Bon Jovi.
I am not John Bon Jovi, Tom Brady. Bon I have a Jovi. Lot of respect for Tom Brady. I like him.
Play his music, sing something
quiet.
For me.
This is the problem with you. This is the whole problem with you.
Now you're psychoanalyzing.
No, I'm just telling you. The issue that I have with Bernie here, and you'll learn this after a while, is that he takes something I say and he twists it into something.
How did I twist it? You just said your boy John Bon.
I like Tom Brady. I didn't say I was a Patriot fan.
Who'd you cheer for in the Super Bowl?
Not the Eagles. I can't root for the Eagles, Bernie. They're in the NFC East and they're a rival in New York. My favorite team, the Giants. Okay. I just cannot root for them. Maybe I'm the better Giant fan because I rooted for New England and you rooted for Philly. So
okay.
Maybe I'm just the great
Giant John,
fan.
Okay, Jeff. Sorry.
Okay, quiet. You're annoying. You are annoying. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you what. College basketball, if you're not paying attention to it, it's getting pretty good. This is the time of the year we start separating the men from the boys, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Let's talk some hoops, some college hoops when we get back.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. And I'll let you gloat.
I kind of got you mad with the Duke comment with Brennan, didn't I? You were mad.
Yeah, because I just feel that was kind of uninformed.
What are you talking? Uninformed?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you and I are going head to
head. Oh, I can't wait.
We'll be right back.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Well, I can't believe it actually took this long to get him to call in. I figured he would have called before we even got on the air, but
he's finally just getting out of bed,
Probably. I don't know. He's been doing...
Since last Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's been in bed. If you know this guy, he has been on the...
Victory tour?
He has been on the victory tour since last Sunday. Our good friend, angry Philly fan, AC, is on the line. AC, what's happening, buddy? Life has changed.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia. right?
Well, I guess. Now, it doesn't look like it's sunny in Philadelphia. Say, one, you got people eating horse manure up down there. You got people looting. You got breaking windows, breaking
gosh.
The front of hotel buildings. I mean, what's going on with your fan base?
People breaking into Gronk's house. Tom Brady pouting. Can't shake hands with the MVP. Come on. Give me a break.
Well, listen, you can say what you want about Tom Brady and all the pages there, but your fans are eating horse manure on television. I'm just saying that.
Hey, what did you expect anything less?
Well, at least have a bun with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's straight up.
Jason Kelsey is going to be our next mayor. Who cares about horse manure?
So let's go back, and you have to tell me, and anyone that listens to the show, we have AC on a lot. We talk Phillies with him when the Phillies are struggling. We usually are talking to when the Eagles are struggling. That's why we've named him Angry Philly Fan AC. But I'm going to have to change your name. But give me an idea what was going the euphoria you were having when there was about a minute left in that Super Bowl game.
Well, I was nervous. You know, you got to give the GOAT credit. You know, you can't be throwing for over 500 yards and not expect him to do something amazing. So it kind of held my breath that last minute waiting to see that ball be incomplete, and then that was it. It was pretty tense.
Was there a little nervousness when that ball got kind of batted back? Do you remember that went the
Giants? Yeah.
I thought the same thing with the Giant game. I'm like, oh, my God. And then there was Gronkowski, and there was one of the wide receivers right there. Were you a little nervous when that happened?
Well, we had Patrick Robinson back there trying to catch a souvenir. I'm like, can we just bat the ball down, please? Just bat it. I mean, if you look at the replay, he's trying to catch it. I'm like, dude, hit it down. Nobody needs to catch it.
So, you know, AC, you were spot on the money. You know, I have to give you credit where credit is due when you were live in studio with how you thought the Eagles were going to win the game and who was going to have a big game as the offense just exploded. Do you believe the stuff that's out there now that the Eagles did a fake walkthrough the day before the game because they didn't trust the Patriots?
Yeah, they. I heard a couple interviews this week, and they did admit that they did a fake run through. It wasn't entirely fake. There were some few plays they were going to run in the game. But there were some other plays. It was just total nonsense. And I think also before the Super Bowl, in the warm-ups, Foles actually was running that route on the trick play. And people just thought he was goofing around because they weren't throwing him the ball, but he was just running the route. And so it's kind of interesting.
So before we let you go, buddy, but I mean, what is the city like now that they've won it? They just must be. It's like,
well, I just drove through the city. It's still standing.
Okay,
no one burned it down, contrary to popular opinion. It's a little messy. You know what I mean? There's horse stuff around and stuff like that. A lot of trash, but not too bad. Not too bad. So there was no significant loss of life or anything like that, then we're still pinching ourselves because I think we think it's a dream.
So what do you shift your attention to now, or do you just ride this wave for a while?
Well, the first thing I want to shift our attention to is going to the draft in Dallas and getting to hear those lovely words in front of Jerry Jones. With the last pick of the first round, Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagle. And then just watch his expression.
I don't think Jerry Jones can have expressions anymore. There's so much Botox in there. I think it's just one expression.
So?
It's just one. It's just one expression.
That's what we're looking for. And we have a new song.
Oh no!
Have we heard the new song?
Why don't you you want to sing it?
Yeah, I'll sing it.
All right, go ahead.
You won't have to put me on delay. We're from Philly. We're from Philly. No one likes us. No one likes us. We're from Philly, we're from Philly. No one likes us, no one likes us. There it is.
There it is. AC, congratulations on your championship. Now I'm going to have to change your name to Happy Philly Fan. That's not fun
for
me.
There it is.
Happy
Bring
Philly Fan.
All right.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. Enjoy. Congratulations. Bye. I'm telling you, if you know the guy like I do, he is ecstatic, and it's just been he's a very happy man right now. And congratulations to them. I mean, when you haven't won one, that's a big deal. That's a big deal to get one.
No doubt about it.
I think I was 12 when the Giants won their first. I mean, I was really young, so you know, I was young in my life. But I know my dad was very excited when that 86 team won.
Absolutely.
Big day. Big day. All right, we were going to talk some college hoops. And I think
before we start talking some college hoops.
Sure.
I'd love to be able to mention something. You know, we talked about the Hockey Cats, how they're hot.
Red hot.
And the Lady Cats winning at the Pack the Gut last night, 1-0. You know, we had TB on talking about just what a great win UVM had.
Unbelievable.
You know, lost in the shuffle here that we're going to give a little prop to right now is Coach Chris Day and the UVM women's basketball team. two huge wins this week. They won at New Hampshire, and then Thursday night, just as you know, the UVM men were taking care of business down in Albany, the UVM women beat the six-time defending America East champions in Patrick Gym.
That's a huge deal.
It was unbelievable. They won the game 62-57. An unbelievable performance and a great job by Coach Day and his players. You can just kind of see that momentum starting to build it and the work that the girls are putting in to really pay off. And they're a dangerous team, come tournament time.
And it's fun to see a young coach like Chris Day come in here. Like he did, was it a year ago? He came in, and he took his lumps last season, but now you're starting to see the fruits of his work and the program is coming back. And you've seen the same thing with the women's hockey program at UVM. You know, obviously we talk a lot about the UVM men's program and we talk about, the hockey program struggled this year, but you can see what Coach Stenton's turned this thing around. I tell people all the time, I think when people that live here, because UVM is in our backyard, you kind of take things for granted, but this is big time Division I sports right here in Burlington, and your teams are very talented. Get out there and root for these kids, man. They're really unbelievable.
Yes, and hopefully the renovation project to the facility starting to pick up the momentum, and it's
going to be great.
I mean, just everything going in such the right direction, right down the road from us. It's just it's just so special to see.
When I watch you on ESPN3, which I do as much as I can when my boy's on, I try to watch on my phone. When there's commercials, they have shown the computer graphic of what that's going to look like at Gutterson and Patrick, and it is going to be unbelievable. You talk about a big time facilities. We're going to have big time facilities here at UVM.
Yeah, it's coming, and it's long overdue, and a credit to the administration for having the vision and recognizing, hey, we're pretty good, and everybody else is kind of doing this. The men have spoiled the UMBC's opening of their brand new facility last week, and now, with all the success that these teams are having and to build this, this facility, it's going to be great.
I mean, think about what they're able to do, and we'll talk. And obviously, we think of Coach.
because we know how much you love Patrick Gym.
I can't take Patrick. I mean, listen, I love Patrick Gym. It's I grew up in Vermont. I know what Patrick Gym means, but it's the worst place to watch a game. It's just an uncomfortable place to watch a game. But it's going to be now not an uncomfortable place to watch a game. It's going to be a great place to watch a game. And I'm going to say this.
If you go, we're going to sit you in a corner on an old chair, and
we're
going to make it as uncomfortable for you as possible.
Well, I will say this. I mean, and if John Becker can recruit these kids he's recruiting now, imagine what he's going to be able to recruit when we have a facility like that. That's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And what the job that John Becker is doing and his kids are doing. Honestly, that game against UAlbany was just, I was on ESPNU, which was great, obviously having them on national television out to the whole country to watch the way they won. And what I liked most about that game, Bernie, isn't the fact that, I know the offense struggled at times, was they played defense, especially in that second half.
Right. I mean, again, 20 for 20 from the foul line. You don't turn the ball over in the second half. And even when Albany was making shots, everything was contested.
Right.
The shots they made early were contested twos. It's not like they were just like breakdowns wide open. I mean, it was a battle. And they took a left hook, a right hook, another left hook. They were down 17, battled back, down 11, came back, won the game. They just found a way. And you're sitting there watching the game and my thought was, how did they win this game?
Yeah.
And it was just amazing.
Well, and I'll tell you how they win the game. They have great leader. I mean, that's what it comes down to. When you have great leadership, and that's what for kids like that to stay that calm without their best player, and let's face it, Anthony Lamb is arguably one of the best players, if not the best player in the conference, not be there. In that arena, under that situation, Albany wanted that game. You could see that they wanted that basketball game. Even though I will say that I was a little disappointed with the crowd at Albany. Not very rowdy. Didn't seem like it was like into it. Like when you go to a game at Patrick, you say that you give me a hard time about Patrick. There's not a worse place for another team to play because Patrick rocks. That place wasn't rocking. I was disappointed with the Albany fans there. A lot of people, listen, they put the camera out there, Brian. They're all sitting on their hands, on their phones. Get engaged, Albany. I mean, come on, your fan base. I mean, you got to get fired up. You got the best team in the league coming in there. You got an arguably one of the best mid-major teams in the country in UVM showing up. I mean, you got to get behind your kids.
They did early. When they were up 17.
I don't think they're really paying attention.
Really?
I wasn't that impressed with the crowd. I just wasn't impressed with it. But I was so
now, why
impressed.
Were you watching the crowd and not the game?
Because the camera goes to the crowd. They pan around the crowd. There didn't seem to be any buzz. In fact, one point they went up there and there was like five kids. They're just looking on their cell phones. Come on.
Well, they wanted to see the replay.
Yeah, you might be right about that. They're on national television. But,
you know, and speaking, you know, now I want to turn it to the toughness.
You know,
Everett Duncan, just all over the place. You know, Ernie Duncan, Drew Urquhart, Peyton Henson, all those guys. But now has the mental pendulum swung? You know, Albany was like, oh, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. Now we've taken their best punch.
Let me ask you
on their home court, and are they like, oh man, can we ever beat this team?
You can say that. Let me get up the conference standings right. Maybe no top of your head, but let me just get them up. I think right now is Albany 4 and UVM is obviously 1.
Yeah, Albany is tied for 4th and 5th with UNH at 6-5, but there's still a lot of games left.
But if it ends up being 1-4, that's a semifinal. That's not the final, that's a semifinal.
Yeah, so you got to beat somebody. You're going to play them again at some point.
No, I agree. And again, you know, another thing that went through my head was maybe this wouldn't be a bad thing. It's tough to beat the team 3 times. I'm just saying thinking.
When we had this conversation last year, you were killing me. No.
I'll tell you why. And that was me being uninformed about that because I didn't think there was a chance that Albany could compete with that talent level. But it's obvious that Albany has something. There's something about Albany that they don't beat UVM. And they're not beating them the last couple of years.
But they're always there.
They're right there. Yeah. And they make you nervous. They obviously have the ability to shoot. They have the ability to play down low. They play good defense. They are very well coached. But you know, that could be a lineup where you're looking at a semifinal, and the American East semifinal might be more compelling than the championship game in this semifinal.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
You never know, but the Cats are back home tomorrow against Lowell at 2:00, and have 4 in a row here on the homestand. And you know, I think if they win the first 3, like that third game against Hartford.
Oh, it's done.
They can wrap up the conference.
I think that's a no-brainer. They're going to go undefeated in this through this. They're going to win all these games.
Wow.
I told you that last week. What are you freaking out about going on the road? At least I can say it. You can't say
that's
it because, you know, you're a big deal with ESPN3.
Oh,
I get all that.
Stop it.
Mr. Big Dealer. He can't say it. I know. Yeah, I got to say it. But me, I'm going to say it as it is. You know what I mean? Are you learning about this, Aaron? He's like the company ESPN guy. He's the real talent. He's the big important guy that holds the microphone with ESPN on it. Me. I'm just going to let you tell you, UVM's going to run this. No question.
16-0, it's over.
Done. Why even play? Lowell, just stay home. Don't just show up.
Really, Lowell, the team to last beat Vermont in conference, just tell them to stay home?
Yeah, because they're not going to win. It is a beautiful time of year to come up, though. You can maybe go to the pond hockey. That's something to look forward to.
That is true.
Yeah, so Lowell, just go to the pond hockey game. You don't need to show up. All right, take a quick break when we come back. I do want to talk college hoops with you because you said I was uninformed about Duke, but I'm not uninformed or uninformed about Duke, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
What I like about Aaron is, like, Aaron, you can tell Aaron likes the music we come back to. He's just head bumping over there, and boom.
Having fun.
Aaron's got a good crop, too.
I was going to say, how jealous are you of his hair?
Completely. Look at the thing. It waves in the air. Look at that.
Nice bounce.
Look at that. It's unbelievable. You got a nice crop up there.
Now, what kind of shampoo you use?
Prel?
Whatever.
Whatever's there.
It's just naturally that good.
You have seriously good hair. You have like Matt Damon hair. You don't know what kind of product. You're lying. You definitely put product. You know exactly what you have in that.
This is hat hair.
I had the same
conversation with Brady. He was like, I bet you spend an hour on your hair. I was like, this is hat hair. This has been in a hat all day. That's why it looks like this.
You are fantastic.
You are so blessed. If that's the trick, keep it up, man.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I mean, when I used to have a hat hair, I looked like I had a mullet. You know what I mean? Like a tap down, like, you know, because back in those days.
And now you got nothing.
Nothing. I mean, like, nothing.
Literally nothing.
I mean, literally. And if I, you know, just, and I fresh cut today, though.
Other than a glare.
Yeah.
That's 3 weeks in a row you've had.
I try to shave my head every Saturday morning before I come in here. I try to. But this is to blind me. But yeah. But this isn't a new blade. This is a week old. So
okay.
It's not. You know the fresh blade?
Yeah, not as.
There is nothing
not
better
close.
Than a fresh blade. Like, the fresh blade is like, oh, my God.
How was the wedding?
Oh, the wedding was good. It was. Thanks for asking. And by the way, let me just say this. You two did an awesome job after I left. Honestly, I mean that.
We had two guests on.
They were good questions. You did a really good job. That's what I meant to say earlier. Good job. You guys were awesome right after I left. But the wedding was fine. It was in a little teeny town in East, way up in Maine. Not Maine, in New Hampshire. I mean, the place still had like Christmas. It was like Christmassy. You know, you think Santa Claus would live up there.
And now, how did that affect your Super Bowl?
We made it back in time for me to watch the game. There was all bad weather coming in. There was a little snow.
There was nothing. You were complaining about like, oh, we're
what are talking get about. I came driving home over the wherever I was, and I mean the mount these great mountains of New Hampshire. It was snowing like crazy. I had to go like 20 miles an hour for the first 2 hours of that trip. That's, and there was some snow. Only it came here later. I don't know. I was in the mountains, way that up
stinks.
In the mountains.
That stinks.
Yeah. It was nice. You know, it was nice. You know, it was funny though that, you know, it's one of those towns where like there's probably like 17 people that live there.
Right.
And like the justice of the peace is also the mayor, you know, or something like
oh,
that.
Sweet.
So it was like before the whole ceremony started, like she stepped in front of the couple and started to talk about how great the town was and how, you know, you should come back and visit. It was like, is this like
an infomercial?
Yeah. You know, it's like, this is, you know, I do a lot of hats here. I'm the mayor. I take care of all the realty. I take care of your breakfast. You know what I mean?
She made your breakfast.
No, I don't think she made. I was just making a point. Like, you know, okay. She did a lot of things. She wore a lot of hats.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Before she went and just did the gist of the piece.
Was her hat?
She didn't have a hat.
Hair as good as his?
No. That's good hair. That's right. Like, that's really good hair. Are you single?
I am not single.
Oh, you got a girlfriend.
I've got a lovely girlfriend.
Oh, I was going to say, like, if you're eligible, like, listen, ladies, there's a nice crop. Bernie, you got a good crop, too. Anything that covers the whole head is awesome, in my opinion.
Okay.
Anything that covers the whole head is awesome.
That doesn't surprise
me. And Bernie's has got, it's all there.
That's solid.
That's good.
For now.
Yeah, that's good. It looks good when you buzz it down, too, though, because you have the little bit up there. Like, it's good. You both have good, nice crops. So good for you, too.
Thank you.
That's good. I do not.
No.
No.
But how about halftime show? JT, yay or nay?
I was kind of impartial to it. It was fine. You know, I didn't think it was, whatever.
It wasn't.
How about the kid with the selfie? Now all of a sudden he's the most famous guy in the world. Like, who cares? Took a selfie with Justin Timberlake. I took a selfie with Leonardo DiCaprio once. They didn't ask me to go on Ellen.
It's JT, man.
Wow. You think JT's a bigger deal than Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yep.
No way.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Justin Timberlake is a bigger deal than Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
No way.
Okay.
I saw Leonardo DiCaprio in Nantucket once. That's another story for another day. Anyway, I do want to talk college hoop.
No. Wait, come on. We're going to get to college hoop in a second.
We don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
All right, well, so basically I was at Nantucket Island with my wife.
No, not the story. Oh. I thought the coolest thing was the tribute to Prince.
Oh, that was neat. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, that was neat.
So I just want. I thought that was
Yeah,
that
was
neat.
Was
legit.
I guess I kept expecting NSYNC to come out
or something.
Britney Spears to come out, so I kept waiting. And
They got you.
It was like, oh, nothing really happened. The tribute was neat. I kind of missed the whole thing being purple. I guess I didn't recognize that. I wasn't paying attention to that.
Jeff.
I'm sorry.
I just didn't see.
I mean, it was nice. I mean, it was fine. It was good. Okay. But I'm not into halftime shows. Like, I don't get all excited for that.
You're too busy eating?
I was, because she had the chili on the oven, so I was housing that.
What?
It's gone, buddy. It's gone.
She made some?
Yeah.
I thought a small pot. Oh,
she brought you in some.
I know, but I thought there wasn't enough time to have it done, and she just kind of
whipped
it together.
She got it together. So it wasn't like, you know, when she usually makes it where it's like 8 hours old and it's marinated. Okay. This was a quick chili, but as usual, delicious. And by the way, the Poorhouse Chili Competition is coming up in a week, and I think she's going to enter it again.
I'm feeling third place this year.
No, she's going to win again.
She's the queen. She won it, and then she got to second, and she's mad now.
I don't know. Well, if she goes to third place, she'll just back. She'll be mad.
But anyway. I just want to see her reaction.
Oh, when it's more fun when you see her when she's just.
Will she shake the other people's hands unlike Tom Brady?
Oh yeah, she's very gracious. She's very gracious. She's gracious in her chili competitions. There's no question.
Good.
Okay, go ahead. So I mean, you kind of got upset with me about the Duke situation. I want to talk college basketball, but you're looking at the in 655-6672 if you want to join the conversation, or text us on the Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. By the way, I feel kind of like a schmuck because a second ago you were saying, "No, I want to hear about the Leonardo DiCaprio thing," so I started to tell the story, but you really were just more interested in talking about the JT thing. So you made me look like kind of a selfish guy that all I want to do is talk about myself. So that's not where I was going.
That was not my intent at all.
That's how you made me feel.
I apologize.
I had the same misunderstanding, Jeff. I thought I was about to hear the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, didn't it sound like he wanted to hear it?
No, I just wanted to keep talking about the halftime show.
Anyway, your Dukies. Your Dukies, a tough loss for Duke at North Carolina.
So tell me about Leonardo on Nantucket.
Be quiet. Okay. Tough loss for Duke is against North Carolina, but I want to focus on Duke specifically because I feel like the Duke program and Mike Krzyzewski, I don't see a program. I know they just won a few years ago, and obviously they had some tremendous talent. What year was it? 2014 did they win the championship? 15, 13? We were doing the show then. I think it was our first year doing the show. When Okafor was on that team, they won the national championship. And I understand that so that's relatively not that long ago. But to me, Duke is a good example of a team that's when I think of Krzyzewski's teams in the 90s, he was more of a coach. I mean, he was the best coach in the world at that. I mean, at least in my opinion, college basketball. And now, I don't see those teams getting better, Bernie. I see those teams coming in red hot, a lot of expectation, and I don't see Krzyzewski. I don't see these guys developing into a great team. Now they become great players and they get drafted in the top 3, 4, 5, but they're not winning. And I know that last year they end up winning the ACC tournament, and that can happen. And they've got great talent. They could win the ACC tournament again. They've got amazing talent. But when you look at a team overall, it just isn't a team that you can that you say, oh, they're getting better every year. To me, they've regressed. And I've noticed that with the last few years. And with Krzyzewski, I mean that with all sincerity, that it's like, you know, my father will say this to me. He's a big Duke fan. That he looks like a CEO. You know, he's been a great recruiter forever. He knows what he's doing. He obviously has a name brand at Duke. But these teams, just they don't do things well. And to me, I think that for a guy like Krzyzewski, that's kind of shocking for me.
Well, like Coach Brennan said earlier, it's talent versus team. And there's a ton of talent, but you mentioned so eloquently earlier about you look at Purdue, you look at Virginia, you look at Villanova, you look at Xavier, you look at those schools.
Texas Tech. I mean, these schools, yeah.
They have older kids that value every possession, that understand how every possession is so important, how they look at each other, and they aren't those elite coddled prospects that come in and just have a different approach, and they're older, and it makes such a big difference. And that's where, again, like Coach said, all right, you know, NCAA tournament's over, and then I got to get ready for the draft, right? Because I'm going to be top 10. And it worked early. Kentucky had it. Duke had it, yep, as they both have won. But now you look at, like you said, Kentucky and Duke, and the kings of those one and dones, they're starting to struggle. And it's just interesting because it's hard to get those guys to mesh and become a team and get better and play better, because they might not buy in either, because like, okay, I'm here, I'm going to have some fun, I'm going to be ready for the NBA, and I'm going
to
go.
And that, but I think that's a horrible thing. And I used to be the big proponent for, like, listen, and I still am, if an athlete is going to college to become a professional basketball player, that's what they're going to college to do. You know, there are people that go to college to be doctors, be engineers, be teachers. They go through their process. If a basketball player is good enough after 1 year to go play, I think they deserve to do that, and that's fine. I get all that. But what's happening if you're a fan of those teams, if you're watching these teams, it's and I'm asking you, and I know you're a big Dookie, I mean, it's got to be rough that every year it's new five guys, whereas, and now you're starting to see some turnaround where these one-and-done teams are struggling. Kentucky is struggling to stay in the top 25. Duke, I don't know what was going on with Duke against North Carolina. I really don't. And North Carolina isn't that great a basketball team to lose that game by double figures and to be kind of blown out in the second half. It's just, to me, for a guy like Coach Krzyzewski, he's gone from being, you know,
to lose what game by double figures?
Well, the Carolina game was like double figures.
They lost
by
four.
I know.
And they had chances down the stretch.
That was late when they came back and made some shots late. But
they still had a chance to tie the game.
Okay, but the point is that the point is that it was like a 20-point turnaround, Bernie. They had a 15-point lead. The same thing happened against St. John's.
Correct.
But again, what I'm saying is this team is regressing. The Kentucky team is regressing. These teams aren't improving. And you wonder if some of these players are getting information like, hey, man, you better start shooting more. The NBA wants to see you shoot more. I mean, you just go from being a guy that's kind of managing great talent for the next level instead of developing. When you think of college basketball, you think of team, you think of that excitement. I don't see that with those programs.
Is it that, or is it that this talent, because they're young freshmen and Marvin Bagley should be a senior in high school?
That's true.
They're hitting that wall, and they don't understand because they're not older and haven't been through it.
You're right. And I know we have to take a break.
That.
I know you're right, but why would you want to recruit that? That's what I'm saying. Like, because if you get to a point where maybe you want to recruit the guys that, say, Tony Bennett's recruiting at Virginia, and develop these kids into a program, and I and you're coaching. Like, you're gone from being a coach. I think that's what the beautiful part of college is it's a coach's league. So now you're becoming more of an NBA type guy where you're just trying to manage talent for the next level. And I think that's unfortunate. And
that's a great philosophical debate.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is.
What would you rather do?
Right. Yeah. All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, now don't forget now, dude. Wednesday is Valentine's Day. All right.
Most overrated holiday.
You have to get out and get the, you gotta go out and get the goods. You got to go out and get the goods for you know, your beautiful bride.
Overrated.
That's, come on. Well, I'll tell you one thing about Valentine's Day. It comes too soon. You know, like Christmas was just like 3 days ago, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Well, it seems like it.
Like 2 months ago.
And you got, you know, that's a big holiday for the gift thing. And now you got to, I was going to do a singing telegram for my wife, but I can't find anybody around here that does that. I hope she's not
I'll
listening.
I'll do it.
Oh, I would pay you top dollar if you would do that.
And it's also Ash Wednesday.
That's right, Ash Wednesday as well. That's probably one of the first times ever. Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day on the same day.
Sorry, I don't have a track record on that tally.
What a show we had. I want to thank Tim Kirchen, ESPN Insider, for baseball. He is getting ready to try to hit every – starts Tuesday. He's going to every facility to cover every major league team. That's got to be awesome.
Yeah, you think he'll have an avocado in each –
oh, there's no question.
At
and you reeled him right in, buddy, yeah, with that. Timmy's great, too. Honestly, every time I reach out – they were just mentioning, if you listen to that promo with the Levitard show, they talked about – they reached out to somebody and they got back to him every 50.
Adam Schefter.
That's the way Tim Kirchen is with us, and we're really
genuine
glad
as
to
genuine
have him.
Can be.
Really is. He's one of the best as well. And Tom Brennan in studio, does it get any better than Coach Brennan in studio?
No.
It gets no better. Nope. Like, and I mean it, if he's listening, and I hope he means it, I would love to do a show where we could have him the whole show. 2 hours, just the three of us talking, the four of us talking, because my boy Aaron with the good hair over here.
And still dancing to the Beastie Boys in the background.
Yeah, this is classic Beastie Boys too. This isn't like the new stuff. This is the old, this is our time. So like a great talk
we're
with Coach
old.
Brennan.
Yeah, we
no,
are.
We're not. Well, we're old. Okay. Tom King under the weather, but he just got back from the Super Bowl. Interesting talk about the Patriots. You know, I felt like it was a mess before I talked to him. I feel like it really is a mess down there after talking to him.
Like we said, winning cures all.
Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, you don't win one game, it's like the whole world's falling in. Now it's like the legacy piece for the Patriots. It's almost as if you wonder if they all should have just left after last year. You know, you win that game, let's just pack it up. Thanks for having us, and we'll see you sometime down the road.
You know they'll be back next year.
Yeah, they're the favorites to go. I think they're 9-2 to win it again. I mean, what's that? It's crazy. Hey, keep it tuned right here all day. We've got it starting today at 1:45, big ACC matchup between UNC and NC State. And then later on, we got Buffalo at the Bruins on the station. So don't go anywhere. And on a personal note, just remember tonight, Virginia 6:10 on ESPN Radio. If the UVA Cavaliers win tonight, they're going to be the number one team in the nation. The first time since like 81 since Ralph Sampson was there. Wahoo-wah, baby. Let's get it done.
You know, I'm so happy for you, but it's just going to be awful when they don't get to the Final Four this year for you.
Shut up. Have a great week, everybody. We had a great time talking to you. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon. Talk to you soon.